All right, so it sounds as if this Steelers-Ravens game is going on Wednesday night now. That's what Schefter's reporting. And if Schefter's reporting it, then you can pretty much lock it in. But sources are telling him, so nothing official yet. And it sounds like we might have a bit of a revolt within the locker room down in Baltimore because they have not been able to practice. They have not practiced at any point. And they basically said the players have said, we're not playing until we get a chance to practice.
I know, but that time's taken away from you. I don't know what they want. It's just, it's gone. So,
well, I guess so. But if they move it to Wednesday, then maybe they can get to Pittsburgh and practice tomorrow to chat about this amongst some other things around the NFL. We're joined now by longtime NFLer from FS1, Marcellus Wiley. What do you make of this Ravens-Steelers situation, all the movement, the idea that the players down in Baltimore may just decide they're not going to play if they don't get a chance to practice? How would you handle this if you're in that Ravens locker room?
Oh, man, if you were in the locker room as an active player, obviously you could feel their frustration because, you know, a few bad apples spoils a bunch. So it's unfortunate. The consequences will be a compromised practice week, if any practice at all. So I would be frustrated because nobody wants to go out there and put on film something that they're not prepared for. And every team you face in the NFL, every player you face in the NFL is a black belt. It's just different degrees of that black belt. And you don't want to go against a team, especially this team, an undefeated team, not fully prepared. But if you're the organization, if you're the NFL, you look at it slightly different. Some of this, in terms of organized confusion and issues, was par for the course. You knew that you were going to run into some hiccups sooner or later, and you would have to plow through it. You would have to almost just run through the stop signs and try to make sure that you give the fans and give your team the best opportunity and the best product. But that said, I think what's going to happen is they're going to have to just play on a shortened week, compromised week, no practice, and just go out there and roll the dice. It's unfortunate because I don't think the scheduling will add up where they can move this game anywhere else without having more issues come from that.
With Marcellus Wiley, the Tom Brady versus Bruce Arians battle continues to heat up, and it feels like people are picking sides throughout the NFL community in terms of who's in the right, who's in the wrong. Arians came out and said, listen, Brady's picking all the plays that we're going to use. We just picked the play in the moment. But he's well aware of the playbook. He's the one that is basically deciding to add a play or delete a play. And Brady was asked about his relationship with Arians a little bit yesterday and gave an answer, professional answer, and then kind of cut it short and took off. Where do you stand on this, and who do you think is going to win the battle in the end? Tom Brady or Bruce Arians?
Man, this is a tough one. I really don't think either one of them are wrong in this situation. I think it's kind of low-hanging fruit to say, oh, Tom Brady has issues with his coach, because that was the same narrative in New England. And once you play for Bill Belichick, in all reality, no matter who's your coach after that, you're going to have a little less respect and a little less trust for them as a coach, because no coach is greater than Bill Belichick. So that's a tough thing for Tom Brady because of his muscle memory. Like, his muscle memory is of success, of a dynasty, and of a coach that no one was better prepared. But when you look at all that in totality, if you're Tom Brady, you might have some trust issues. You hear a play, and you're like, I have six rings, six Lombardi trophies, doing it a different way, but okay, I'll trust you. Now, when it goes well, there's no problem. It's just when it doesn't go well, that's when the issues resume. And I just think that right now, Bruce Arians has a system that Tom Brady's been allowed to thrive in. He's fourth in passing touchdowns, ninth in passing yards per game, but everyone acts like the sky is falling when you're talking about what he's doing in New England versus what he's doing in Tampa. So I don't think either one's at fault. It's just a buy-in. It's a trust chemistry issue. They need more reps. They need more success. And they just need a little more time. But hopefully they will get it all fixed, a few games remaining with the bye week, and then go into the playoffs hot like they need to be.
Marcellus, I've got a lob ball for you. It's an easy answer to the question. It's a fill-in-the-blank. and we'll see if me and you are on the same wavelength. After the performances yesterday, I think one player in the NFL put a stranglehold on the MVP. It's an obvious answer. Can you fill in the blank to see if you're on the same page who that player is?
That player is Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's not, but continue. Go ahead, Marcellus.
Answer the question, please.
It's as much as if Usain Bolt is running against anyone else. There's someone else on the track, but no one else really in contention. I think that's what's happening here. Look, Aaron Rodgers is still in contention. Tom Brady, outside chance. You can try to reach for other positions. They never will win over a quarterback. Yeah, it's Patrick Mahomes' MVP. And what he's been able to do in terms of the win-loss record is going to be greater than his MVP season. His individual stats won't be, but if you're creating a dynasty right before our eyes and you're playing at that level, I don't see how they give it to anybody else.
Yeah, see, this is where I would disagree with you on that.
What a great answer, Marcellus.
It's a spectacular answer. Mahomes, what am I going to say about Mahomes that everyone on earth has not already said?
And it's okay if you just say he's the MVP.
He's spectacular. Okay. What I said was I think where he might get bit is with the narrative game, because you're right. I mean, Mahomes, he's going to win a million ball games. He's the best player in the game, the most talented player in the game. But you look at his stats. Okay, 68.8% completion rating. That's off the charts good. Aaron Rodgers, 68.5%. Rodgers has thrown 33 touchdowns. Mahomes, 30. Their QB rating, 86.2 for Mahomes, and Rodgers is 85.2. Their rating overall, 115.5 for Mahomes, 117.6 for Rodgers. It is close statistically, very close. Then when you throw on, he's 37. He had to watch on draft night his team draft his successor, didn't get any weapons, didn't trade for Will Fuller, doesn't have this, that, or the other, and he's going to run off 12 wins himself. I think Rodgers is going to have a very narrative, compelling case that might push him past Mahomes. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I don't argue that, because all of those things are something that you can really use as a premise to put him past Patrick Mahomes. There's also just voter fatigue. For some reason, these voters like this to be a traveling trophy. They wanted to hit as many different players as possible. So there is a voter fatigue. Hey, we just gave it to Mahomes. Did he play better this year than he did when we gave it to him 2 years ago? No, he didn't. So why are we giving it to him again? Who else has a great story? Who's compelling? And everything you said about Aaron Rodgers is absolutely correct. I just think that right now, the ceiling in terms of what Patrick Mahomes is doing, not only for himself, but the translation of that to team, is where he's going to get the trump card over Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers' team will look as good, the record won't look as good, as what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do. That translation right there, I think, gives him the nod.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
It's a great answer. I'm gonna pivot over to, how would you feel if you're playing and you've got no quarterback? So they say, hey, we're gonna pull off the practice squad a wide receiver because he played a little quarterback in college ball. How would you feel as a player if you were on Denver?
Oh my goodness, to mess with your money, mess with your performance like that, insane! Like, ooh. I mean, you're not supposed to turn on your teammates, but we've seen it happen before, and we've seen teammates have fights before, and this will certainly be fighting terms in terms of all three of the quarterbacks compromising the entire team to the point where they don't have a capable comp out there at the position. That's sad, man. Oh, I'm not even an active player, but just to think that we're doomed, we're damned before we even get out there. Oh, that would make my blood boil. But, you know, depending on what position, that could be fuel and motivation. But as we saw in that game yesterday, the Saints haven't allowed a touchdown in the two games Drew Brees has been out, in part because Taysom Hill's running the ball. And quarterback or not, no matter who their opponent's been, they haven't had much good success against this defense that the Saints have pulled out. But that is sad. Not all these people on this planet – in 32 teams, and you can't find capable quarterbacks that can stay healthy through this situation. Pretty damning right there.
Yeah, that was crazy to see, and not a surprising outcome. And I would say not a surprising outcome last night to get back to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers laying a beating on the Bears. And Trubisky looked like he did prior to being benched and prior to being injured. But Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Bears, came out and just laid into his team and called it an embarrassing effort and called them out to show some pride.
They're not good.
No, they're not any good, and they know Matt Nagy's a dead man walking. I mean, you've been in these rooms before, all three of you guys have. Marcellus, do you think this is actually going to inspire the Bears, or are they just going to tune out Nagy and say, dude, we got like four or five games left, and then we never have to see you again?
Yeah, I think this is, like you said, walking paper for Matt Nagy for many reasons. One, I thought it was a premature decision to bench Trubisky the first time. He was 2-0 as a starter. The third game they were losing against Atlanta. He benches them. They win. But then you saw the offensive statistics from that point forward. They weren't a better team. They weren't a better offense without Mitch Trubisky. He was your future, and you leveraged and mortgaged that for the present. And then you found out that fizzled out. All of that is on your resume, Matt Nagy. All of that is under your watch, on your clock. So that's going to come back to haunt you. And now you're trying to jumpstart the team again. Oh, the guy bitched like 5-6 weeks ago. He's actually your leader. And everybody's like, yeah, right. That dude's not our leader. And one thing I love about sports, especially football, it doesn't matter how nice you are. It doesn't matter how nice you talk about the game and how much you've learned and how much you say, okay, I've really understood what I've went through and now everything's different. I'm going to turn the page. Football doesn't give a damn. It's so funny. I play with guys that were great citizens and sorry football players. And then I play with guys who just didn't know which way was up in their real life and just didn't care about people. Didn't even study hard. But boy, when that ball was kicked, they knew how to act on that football field. And it's just the ultimate equalizer, man. It's just funny that Matt Nagy, all these press conferences, Mitch Trubisky can say all the right things. Who cares? It's about what you do on that field between the whites for 3 hours. And right now, they're not doing enough.
No, they're not. And I don't expect that they will the rest of the way. Great stuff as always. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care, brother.
Marcellus Wiley from FS1, longtime NFLer.
You know who else looked like an absolute donkey yesterday? A couple things from yesterday. The Jags tanking, clearly tanking, but yet they had to fire their general manager yesterday. I found that bizarre.
Oh,
trading
yeah.
away all their best players. It's like they're tanking for Lawrence, but they fired their GM. It's like, what were you expecting from them? And the other thing is Gase just looked like a complete turkey after that game.
Unbelievable.
He was being questioned, and they were saying, it looked like on the sidelines that you weren't calling plays, but were you? But you weren't doing anything. And he's like, oh, we have a system down where if it's like third, it was bizarre to watch.
Oh, it's so bizarre. He's calling the plays, and everyone knows it, and he doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah, I know. And he's like, no, we have it all down pat. I'm like, you sound like the dumbest human being on earth right now. And you talk about a dead man walking. Why is he still there?
You know what? Yeah. It's so rare to see a coach get fired. That's it.
Did
Matt
you
Patricia
see the specific
did.
Moment I'm talking about?
Like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
he
about.
He looks so stupid where they were like, no, well, we saw the other
lying.
Guy. Yeah, we saw the other guy on the sidelines with his hands in his pocket. He wasn't doing anything. So he couldn't have been calling plays. He's like, oh, yeah, we have a system.
Well, I'm then like, he was like, well, I call third down plays. Like, what the hell does that mean?
I had to throw the remote at the TV and say, you are ridiculous.
No, Gase is ridiculous. And Gase is gone. Nagy's gone to Chicago. Ryan Pace, I think the GM, has to be gone. He's the one that he went all in on Trubisky. He went all in on Trubisky, traded up in the draft in 17 to get him. We all know who went after that. Right? Like, we know Mahomes went 10th and Watson went 12th and Christian McCaffrey went 8th. Like, for, you know, okay, you didn't take a quarterback. At least take the most electric running back in the game. They didn't take him. But Matt Patricia, this says something about the Lions, that they fired their coach over the weekend, which they never happens in the NFL. Very rarely does a coach get fired. Remember last year, a couple years ago, when the Packers fired McCarthy and people were shocked and it was like week 16. Because it just never happens that way. The Lions, when it happens to them, it's like, yeah, I guess so. I could see that. Like, that's how bad they are. That's how inept they are. That's how big of a disaster they constantly are. I feel for Lion fan. We don't bring them up enough. We talk about the Jets. We talk about the Jags. We talk about the Browns. The Lions have been around forever, and they don't win anything. No. Nothing. And they got suckered into a Belichick sycophant, and they picked up Patricia, and look how it worked out. It worked out horribly.
Yeah.
And they fire him, and he's gone, and the Lions are back to square one.
I don't know what your thoughts are, but some of these organizations, whether it be the Jets, the Jaguars, the Bears, like, doesn't somebody just go out and throw $30 million a year at Peyton Manning and say, do you want to be the president of this team and try to fix it?
Might be worth a shot.
It would be worth a shot. Like all these other donkeys they keep recycling, it doesn't work. Go get a brilliant football mind. I mean, John Elway, as the president of the Denver Broncos, he won a championship there, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He worked.
Peyton Manning was a quarterback. It's like, just at least give somebody who knows the ins and outs of football. Obviously, the great mind sometimes doesn't translate into great behind the scenes. But just, he knows the ins and outs of football players, tendencies, travel, everything involved in the organization. Give him a shot to run it.
Give him a shot. Gives you credibility, too.
Yeah, and
that
might
what
be
it
a,
is.
Like, for a team like the Lions, it'll just be some kind of a PR sweetheart for you.
It would
been
be.
So bad for so long. But then when Peyton Manning starts taking the joint out in Detroit, then it'll just all hell will break loose.
Right, and he's not taking that job. He's not. No. He's not going to Detroit. You know, like, he's waiting. We'll pick this up in the next hour. I'm with you, though. But it also, sometimes there's a layer above that, the owner, and a layer below it, the quarterback. If you don't solve those, you know, whoever's in the middle is
doesn't matter.
Yeah, paddling upstream.